Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant that by your inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding may do them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I have a deep and great appreciation for paintings, and I've seen some really, really awesome masterpieces over the years. Works by Picasso, Monet, Van Gogh, Rembrandt, Pollock, among others. Yet I still think my favorite to this day is the one by Magritte called The Son of Man. It has a man wearing a bowler hat with an apple covering his face, made more popular by the remake of The Thomas Crown Affair. But of course, with masterpieces, over time, they need upkeep, so the image remains intact. Hence the tedious process of image restoration to recapture the image to its former grandeur. Some of you might remember the famous story from a couple of years ago regarding an elderly woman who attempted at restoring a fresco of Jesus in Spain. Unfortunately, the woman was not a highly trained individual, but rather a volunteer. And what started out as a fresco of Jesus Christ ended up looking like a really hairy alien from outer space. Something that you would see kind of from the X-Files. It was an extremely distorted image of Jesus. Looking at what was before and what came after was altogether haunting and heartbreaking. This was a beautiful piece of art. How could things get this bad? How could this image become this distorted? Today we have two of my favorite passages of Scripture, Genesis 1 and Matthew 28, where we have the Great Commission. And we are given these two passages on Trinity Sunday, the day we dwell in the mystery and the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But as I said earlier in our service, every Sunday is Trinity Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
But today is Trinity Sunday, and you see, you and I are made in the image of God, what we call the Imago Dei. So in the image of the Trinity, humanity was created and formed. This was so unique and so awesome, the Lord called it very good. Not just good, very good. But because of sin and rebellion, the image became a distorted one. The wonderful work of art, the spectacular masterpiece that was humankind, needed image restoration. But who would repair it? Who could even restore this wondrous image in us? Only the Lord. And the image is restored through the work of the Trinity. The Father sends the Son to be born as one of us, to live a perfect life, to die a perfect atoning death, and to rise victoriously from the dead. I think the Anglican priest and poet John Donne put it best when he wrote about the incarnation. "'Twas much that man was made like God before, but that God should be like man, much more." So we see that the image restoration was a big deal and a part of God's rescue mission and part of the divine plan. But that's not all. The Spirit is sent to indwell those who believe in Jesus, the Messiah, as the ultimate sent one of God, the anointed one. And the Spirit's presence in our lives is evidence that we are God's children and that image restoration has already begun. This morning, we're going to see ourselves as how God sees us, works of art, unique and priceless works of art. This morning, we're going to see how only the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can restore us. And this morning, we're going to see that while we are being restored and refined, that we are given a global mandate pointing to this great reality, come to the life of the Trinity. Come to the well of everlasting life. Come and see the love of God. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Genesis 1, found on page 3 in your pew Bibles. The Lord God Almighty sees you and me as a precious work of art. This may be hard for some of us to believe, but it's true. How do we know this? Well, just look at the literary framework of Genesis 1. Let's just look at this for a second. We have 8 divine commands here in the creation story. 7 let there be's, way before the Beatles said it, and 1 let us make. In days 1 through 3, we have God creating domains, and in days 4 through 6, we have subject to rule these domains. For example, the sun, the moon, and the stars created on day 4 rule over the light and the dark of day 1. The sea creatures and birds created on day 5 rule over the sea and the sky created in day 2. But God rules and he reigns over every aspect of his creation. Yet on day 6, the last thing created is humanity. And here everything slows way, way down. More attention is given to our creation than anything that has come before. Humanity is made in the image of God to have dominion over the earth, to reign over the fish in the sea, to reign over the birds in the air, to reign over the livestock, all the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. And believe me, I've caught some here the last week. And I had dominion over them, if you know what I mean. So we see a strong connection between the image of God in humanity and reigning and having dominion over the earth. This means that in God's eyes, humanity is royal. Royal. We were to represent God's kingly rule all across the globe. Only humanity, only us. No other aspect of creation was given this task. This was our special assignment because we are unique, being created in not only the image of God, but also the likeness. Now, great rulers would have their image put on coins and currency. We see this in the Gospels with Caesar's inscription on the coin. But the Lord's image is written in us. In us. Both men and women were created in the image of God. And notice that after human beings are created, there is this commission and the blessing to multiply and occupy the earth, to represent God's rule worldwide. Verse 28 states, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" But things go amiss. Things go terribly wrong. The evil one in Genesis 3 can't get at God, so he goes after God's image in us. We believe the lie, and the image becomes a distorted one. You see, sin corrupts, sin defiles, sin destroys. Hence, humanity needed rescuing and image restoration. Only who would do it? Well, the rest of the story is how God goes to great lengths to save us sinners and rebels. A people are formed, and from them the Lord Jesus comes forth. He comes as one of us, but born of a virgin. He comes in great poverty to give us great riches. He comes in great humility so that we might be lifted up. He endures great agony so that we might have eternal life. He overcomes the grave so that we might have a living hope. And he will return for us, and we will have a new home. He is the perfect image of God. He is the perfect image of God. He is God in the flesh. And his life has not only broken into our world, it has broken to our very lives. We now have a shared life with him by faith. In other words, the image restoration has already begun in us. Amen? And the Spirit indwells us, continually working within us to be more and more like Jesus, who, as we saying this morning, is altogether lovely and altogether beautiful. And this work of restoration, this work of grace, will one day be finished and complete. Dr. Ronald Meeks writes, "Several years ago, my dad won a trip to Italy through his business, and he asked me to go along. A highlight of the trip was visiting Florence, the great city of the Renaissance. One afternoon, out of curiosity, I went to a museum where some works of Michelangelo were displayed. As we viewed the half-finished sculpture of St. Matthew, the tour guide explained that this unfinished work was a prime example of Michelangelo's philosophy of art. He believed that in a stone there was a figure or statue waiting to be released. The work of the artist was to free the statue from the stone. The statue was so lifelike that I thought any minute St. Matthew might just step out of that huge block of stone. And as I looked at the half-finished statue, I could see that the artist had begun to free the statue, but had not been able to complete it. The tour guide went on to explain that Michelangelo had numerous works that he never finished. And as I thought about God's work in us, I realized that God had begun a work in us to conform us to the image of Jesus. However, unlike Michelangelo, God does not stop working in our lives until he finishes what he intends to accomplish. God will finish what he has started. He will finish the work that he has begun. Ultimately, God has no unfinished works of grace. We are already being restored, and one day we will be completely restored. But Scott, I don't feel this restoration underway. I think I'm a mess. Just look at my life. Where's God's image in me? Because I just don't see it. I battle mental illness. I struggle with addiction. I wrestle with sickness and physical ailments. I'm not a work of art. I'm not a work of art. My friends, the Lord continues to work in all of us. The Spirit continues to refine every single one of us. When you think about a smith sitting over the flames of a fire, do you fathom the heat of those flames, burning away the impurities and the imperfections? How do you know when the metal is truly refined? It's when the smith can see his image in it. Only the Lord can bring about restoration, and the process he has begun in you and me, he will one day complete. He has come to redeem us. He has come to renovate us. We are amazing works of art that reveal the fingerprints of God. The refining is part of the restoration. But as this is going down, we are commissioned to go out to the entire world. You see, at the resurrection of Jesus, new creation came breaking into this world. And at the close of Matthew's gospel, we find ourselves on yet another mountain. Mountains play a big role in Matthew's gospel. Jesus was tempted on a mountain overlooking Jericho. He gave his famous sermon on a mountain. He was transfigured on a mountain. And now Jesus gives the Great Commission on a mountain. The disciples end up going where they are told, to this mountain in Galilee, and they see Jesus, but we have the honest and truthful statements here. Some of them doubted. Some of them doubted. These mighty apostles doubted. Some, not all, doubted while worshiping him. But look how God can work through our doubts. All these men but John would be killed for their faith in Jesus. Yet Jesus comes to these men, and he commissions them. You see, new creation has already come. Jesus has risen from the dead. All authority, all power has been given to him on earth and in heaven. And because of this, God's new society, the church, is to be sent out to the entire world to multiply. In Genesis 1, we have a physical commission to multiply all across the earth. In Matthew 28, we have the commission to go and make disciples of all nations across the globe. In the Greek, it basically reads like this: as you are going, make disciples. As you are going, make disciples. Now, Christians do a whole lot of going all the time. We go to work, we go to school, we go home, we go to the church. We go shopping, we go hip-hopping, we go to the movies, we go to the sports arena. But as we are going, do we make disciples? Do we? Because we're going everywhere. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, disciples are to be baptized. Image restoration can only be done through the mission of the Trinity. Image restoration can only be accomplished by being immersed into the divine life. How beautiful then, when we are baptized, the sign of the cross is made on our foreheads. We are sealed and marked as Christ's own forever. We have been completely saturated in the life of the perfect one, Jesus Christ. And as our image restoration is already underway, and we are continually refined to be in more and more like Jesus in this life, we are sent out to all the world to be God's royal ambassadors. Not just his ambassadors, his royal ambassadors. There are a whole lot of masterpieces in the world that need image restoration, and I'm one of them. And you are too. Can you hear the echoes of the original commission in Genesis 1? Multiply to the end of the earth. Multiply to the end of the earth. Multiply to the end of the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the commands that I have given you. It's a humbling thing that God uses you and me, these images that he is restoring, to bring about image restoration to the people of this world. I mean, this is just one of the most amazing things about God. Why would he want to use me? Who am I? But he says, God, you're of infinite worth. So are you. And he wants to use you to go forth into this world and to make disciples. There are loads and scores of folks in all of our lives that need image restoration. Just think about the people in your circle of influence. Could be family members, could be children that you raised in the church, but guess what? They're not part of a faith community. You know how I feel about that. There are loads of people, scores of people in our lives that need image restoration. May they see Jesus in us more and more all the time, each and every day, month by month, year by year. May they see the only one capable of restoring the Imago Dei in us. May they know and be immersed and saturated in the life of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us your servant's grace by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities, for you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen.